Welcome to the road to growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with team lead of the Enriquez Group, Realtor Vinny.
You know, Vinny, years ago, thanks for having me, by the way. Years ago, there were all kinds of magazines, and there still are. Yeah. However, everybody today at 1 o'clock in the morning when they're stressed about their life is doing those very creative Google searches. Find me a business. How do I be my own boss? And franchising will always, always pop up. But the challenge today, even with Google, is there are thousands of franchise opportunities. So you cannot Google your way into finding the best one for you. Doesn't exist. It's like Googling looking for your wife. It's not going to happen. It's a little bit difficult.
Well, I guess you got some mail order bride. So possibly, I guess
it's not. Well, maybe. Okay. I stand corrected. That might work.
All right. Before we get into your story, what are some things, and we might've got there organically, we probably would have, but what are some things to be aware of when thinking of buying a franchise in?
Yeah, I mean, look, I tell people that you have a certain skill set. Everybody listening has a certain skill set, certain comfort zone, certain risk tolerance. Sometimes I could adjust those and make your comfort zone a little bit larger with some education on business ownership and franchising. But, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions. You do not have to be a millionaire to own a franchise. I have more brands today that are under $200,000 with financing in place. The SBA, Small Business Administration, absolutely loves to give out money, 20% down typically, even on a franchise that you're going to grow in your area. A lot of people today also are looking for those independent businesses all over the internet. It's talked about. Every guru out there is saying, buy somebody's existing business. And, you know, you could get a 10% loan from the SBA if it's a good proven business, but you're still in business completely by yourself. In franchising, you have a whole entire team, call it a mastermind, supporting you in this endeavor, but you have to pick the right franchise for you. I think we'll probably talk about my biggest mistake in life. I picked the wrong wife, and franchises are relationships, but in business. So you have to pick the right one.
With your company, with Ion Franchising, are you helping, I guess, more of the entities find franchise owners, more of individuals looking to start a franchise, or what does it look like?
It's both. My advocacy is on the side of people listening to this podcast. I am going to help people for free. I get paid like a recruiter, which is pretty cool. Because if you never found me and you went to any brand on your own, you're doing this all on your own. They're all trying to sell you. I'm going to get you and match you with the best opportunities for you. And you're never paying me a penny. And I do have a free assessment on my website. And you can send me on IG. You can send me a message. Vinny will be the code today. And people hit me up on IG. I'll send you the free assessment link. I'm happy to schedule a call and talk about it.
Perfect. And all Lance's information is in the show notes. So go in the show notes to reach out to Lance. Now, how did you get into this business? Did you grow up in, I guess, franchising, entrepreneur? What did you grow up as?
Such a great question, Vinny. You know, how do people even become entrepreneurs? You know, is it some lab accident? In my case, I was actually born into it, and I feel incredibly lucky that I didn't have to remain stuck like a lot of my friends for years, pre-programmed to get a job and, you know, just generally speaking, not be happy. Plenty of people get a job and they're happy and, you know, they collect a paycheck and that's great. I had a grandfather that was a Polish immigrant I could barely understand, who created from a little bodega in New York City, created a chain of supermarkets and was outrageously successful. And my other grandfather was a real estate attorney, and he helped people play real life Monopoly, commercial, residential, the whole nine yards, bought himself a bunch of buildings. And dad was on Wall Street. So Vinny, as you know, the three pillars of investing are Wall Street, real estate, and business ownership. So at a really young age, Dad clued me into the fact that I am going to be unemployable. I know too much. Question is, where the heck am I going to spread my wings? And I had an uncle reach out to me who did tech before a lot of people even knew what tech was. And he wanted to build a $1 billion restaurant franchise group. And I helped him do that. I moved from New York to Arizona. And believe it or not, we got to $225 million a year in the late in the early 90s, 92. We were doing $225 million a year with TGI Fridays. But, you know, so that was a big education for me. I got out to the West Coast where I got to see things that are new as opposed to old buildings. And it was a lot of fun. And I'm in Vegas now.
How old were you when you partnered up with your uncle?
Well, with my uncle, I was really recruited, and that was almost 23. I was out of college, got my economics degree, and I ended up with him for 5 years. That was the longest I stayed anywhere. And he went back to Asia to go build other tech companies. And in my case, I went on to follow the path that he sort of etched for me in franchising. I became a franchisee of Krispy Kreme donuts. My partner and I had two states for Krispy Kreme. I ended up doing Wingstop. Wingstop in the early days, people thought I was nuts. Why did you pick that? We never heard of that. That's not going anywhere. And Wingstop became an amazing household name. I was, in fact, president of the Franchise Advisory Council and mentored a lot of new franchisees. Then I created a now famous brand from scratch, actually part-time, called Pink Box Donuts that is now big, big hotshot brand in Las Vegas. I started that in 2011 and fell into being a franchise broker. My podcast is in the top 1% of all podcasts, and that's called Ion Franchising. And I love to teach people and educate people about not only business ownership, but specifically franchises. And I have people that are very high net worth individuals to people just getting into their first business with $30,000. And they call me and say, hey, how do I do this? Tell me what I should be doing.
So were you an operator at all during that period?
I was. And the bizarre thing is that I didn't know at the time how good I was going to be. And I was good. Why was I good? To this day, I like to follow the system, I'm very competitive. I like to be the best. And, you know, I really enjoy people. That's why I left Wall Street in the first place. I really, truly enjoy working with people. I like being hands-on. I'm not really that technical, but I was good in the kitchen. And my team loved me in the kitchen on Super Bowl, the busiest wing day of the year at Wingstop in the old days. But it was a lot of fun. And that's the really interesting thing about franchising. I mean, I got a buddy that owns 19 Great Clips hair salons. He's bald and doesn't know how to cut hair. Mm-hmm. So it's not about you knowing the technical aspects of the business you're getting into, but you have to be great with people. You have to be able to follow a system. Great communication skills, being likable is helpful, and you know, having that ability to learn. And you know, some people stop learning when they get too old. Remember John Wooden, the old UCLA basketball coach? It's what you learn after you know it all that counts.
Teach them how to put their socks on right. First practice.
That's it.
So okay, so you're an operator. I mean, you're there for the day-to-day. Then when you start actually opening up multiple stores, I'm assuming you can't be there for the day-to-day. So how are you finding the right people to put there to make sure that the product is good and has the same level of, I guess, love and care for that business that you would?
Great question. That is the magic question right there. I was rough around the edges being a former New Yorker moving out to Arizona. And I'll never forget, there was a head waitress, if you will, Karen, at one of the TGI Fridays that I was overseeing, that said to me one day, "You're really an asshole." And I said, "I'm sorry." My chest puffed out like, "You can't say that to me." And it took me a while to realize that, you know, culturally, I come from a different state, sort of an obnoxious, aggressive state known as New York, although I do love it. And I realized I had to change who I was and how I was treating people. And, you know, it's not about getting walked all over, but when you really learn about people, you're going to do much, much better. And I learned quickly that you have to build a core team. You're always going to have turnover in business, but it's that core staff. Who is the first person that you hire? Like Warren Buffett, unfortunately, Charlie Munger just passed away not too long ago, but that was his main guy for years. Who's your main guy or gal? You need to find them. And I had a lady named Deb who was my main gal at Krispy Kreme, at Wingstop. She was in both ventures with me as the operator. So at the end of the day, nobody builds an empire by themselves. And you have to learn how to be great with people. I don't know how much time we have, but I can give you amazing examples in the old days, how I'd hire people, find people out of state. And those will be in my new book I'm working on.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Yeah, let's jump into that.
All right. Well, let's give you a first example. So when we were doing Krispy Kreme donuts in Utah, I lived in Las Vegas. This was before the internet. And what I did was I drove in and I looked at where the site was going to be, the land that we had purchased. Building was just starting construction. And I looked at the other restaurants. You know, you always ask yourself, if I'm looking for a leader in my organization, in this case, Krispy Kreme in Utah, where would I want to hire them from? And the answer is a big restaurant, preferably a chain that understands systems and great training. So it could be Outback, it could be Chili's, it could be Applebee's. And all of those were within a stone's throw away from that particular Krispy Kreme. So guess what I did? I wrote down those phone numbers. There was no internet then. I grabbed the phone book in the hotel room, called those places. I asked for the manager. Typically, if you call early morning during the week, you're going to get the manager before the businesses are open. I ended up speaking to, I think, one general manager and two assistant managers. And I said, my name is Lance. I'm opening a great food concept right down the block. It's going to be high volume. I'm looking for great leaders, managers like you. Clearly, I'm not calling to recruit you. That would be unprofessional. However, I am looking for people that you might know in the industry, friends and family, and I'd be happy to pay you some sort of referral fee for sending them my way. Here's my phone number, fax number. Yes, fax number for those listening and don't even know what that is anymore. And believe it or not, I got a lot of people calling me and faxing me resumes, most of which, included the individuals that I spoke to. And then I went into I let all of those people know as I was setting up interviews that I'm coming in on this week in the month of February, and I would love your schedule for the week. I pretended I was not sure what my schedule was going to be. Well, that was a lie, a white lie, because I knew what my schedule was going to be. There's an old story that you're always better off hiring people that are currently employed because you know what you're getting as opposed to somebody that has some kind of story as to why they're unemployed. And I had their schedules and I visited them all at work. Now, in the old days before social media, I didn't know what they looked like, but better yet, they didn't know what I looked like. So I snuck in there and observed them. And the gentleman at Applebee's had an incredible staff. And I actually let him know who I was when I was there very quietly. And the first thing he said to me was, the neon light on the east side of the building is broken and I'm having it fixed tomorrow. I didn't even ask him that question, but I did notice that the neon was hanging down when I walked in. I realized that was probably my guy, and it was. And we hired him. He became the GM, etc. So hiring is an art. Most people are completely wrong with hiring. They're sending out ads everywhere, and it's kind of like hoping and praying that the right individuals come to them. I find the people myself.
If you were in that same situation today, do you think you'd be doing some internet stalking on the person, like social media stalking too, or
more than likely I would. More than likely I would. It would be much easier today. And I still was able to get even the youngest employees for a lot of positions all through my network. I'd always go to my friends and family. Look, Facebook started, I think I was active in 2007 or so. So starting around then, I'd always ask friends. I'd say, hey, I'm hiring for this restaurant. So the answer is, yeah, it's a different art today. But at the end of the day, once you attract those people, the way you retain them is being a great boss and creating that great culture. And one of those secrets for me was always giving people what they asked. I had a lot of students, whether they were college or high school, that worked for me in the food business. So a lot of them only wanted part-time. And one of the biggest mistakes most bosses make is they're desperate. So they take that perfectly great employee that only wants to work part-time, and they ruin them by forcing them. And, you know, Vinny, can you please work tonight? I know you can't normally work Friday night, but can you please work? And eventually those employees get worn down and like, man, this boss doesn't listen to me. I'm tired of working Fridays. I told him I needed that off.
Now you're expanding, you're taking on more franchises. When's kind of like the divorce, what's happened with your personal life, I guess, during this window? That's probably a lot of time that you're not around for.
Yeah. Well, and the divorce, I wouldn't blame it on how much I worked. It was obviously a bad relationship. Like picking a bad franchise, I picked a bad wife. I picked someone. She'd probably say the same thing about me, Vinny. But at the end of the day, we weren't a good match. It was a bad move. And, you know, we are all calculated in our decisions. We might rush into them. Marriage is a big one. And it really screwed me up pretty good, because obviously financially and all your mental energy going towards worrying. I mean, look, at the end of the day, everything fits in one of two buckets: things you can control and things you can't. You can't control the weather, so stop worrying about it. You can't control what your father-in-law is thinking, so don't worry about it. You can obviously change your habits that might change that person's thinking, but at the end of the day, it was a pretty bad deal.
So did that have any effect on how you looked at your routines or your what you're doing with your life? Of anything? Yeah. Did anything change there?
Yeah, you know, it's always time. There's a lot of time in screwing something up when you look back and go, man, if I didn't do this, I would be so much better off. But it took me down a different path. I took a lot of time off. I sold one of the businesses prematurely because I just didn't, you know, I wasn't as motivated. You know, at the end of the day, not everybody wants to be a billionaire. I mean, I did start off like that, thinking, you know, I want $100 million. And then I realized, where the hell am I going to spend all that? So I realized I didn't have to work that hard, because my goals were just to be able to have that time freedom to be able to do whatever the heck I wanted anytime. That's what I have today as a franchise broker. I fell into being that years later. And I have people ask me all the time, well, you know, you've done well in businesses. Why don't you just own more franchises today? Like, it's too much energy for me. I did get remarried 14 years ago, Vinny, 57 now. I got remarried 14 years ago and I found the perfect woman. I know you're thinking like, damn, he had an awful, awful first divorce. But guess what? I found the perfect woman and realized I'm going to do this again. She kind of forced me. She said, you have to get married. We can't just shack up and live together. And she was right. And she's amazing. And my life has never been better. You know, when you find the right person that, and you have that great relationship, it's an amazing partnership. So you get to grow old together, and that's what we're doing. She's younger than me, but a little bit.
So I know you talked about that, like kind of just the pain of, I guess, bringing on more franchises, right? do you think there's a point or a structure that you could have done that would have buffered, I guess, enough of that pain where you had management kind of taking on those things? Or was that just something you didn't really want to try?
You know, at one point, as much as the divorce issues, I had a partnership issue with Wingstop. And I ended up selling my Wingstops prematurely. I did the hard part. The hard part is finding a location, staffing it, opening it, and building sales and getting to the point where you're cash flowing. And in my case, making a lot of money. And I ended up selling those Wingstops early because I was so annoyed with between my attorney, between my partners, and I ended up getting a pretty big bridge type loan because I had money, but you need a lot of money to open a whole bunch of restaurants. I mean, to open a Wingstop was, even in the old days, was $375,000 a year, $400,000. That's cheap today because they're probably $550,000, $600,000 to open these days. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have all that cash. And I ended up having partners, and they were sharks. And I didn't know what I didn't know at the time. And again, although I had been recently divorced, or that was kind of in the midst of the whole thing, I had six Wingstops. And it was just unfortunate. And I had an attorney that literally said to me, yeah, I think this agreement is going to cause us some grief down the road, because there were some things in the agreement that the attorney didn't pay as much attention to as he should have. I certainly didn't understand some of these clauses back in the day. Now I think I'm very good with contracts because of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, fail forward. We're all going to fail. I was an incredibly successful franchisee. I did all the hard things right. Some of the easy things I screwed up. You know, the partnership shouldn't be that difficult. It is all about roles and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes people want to take advantage. And one other new attorney told me, you know, look, people love to fight over money. You had successful restaurants and people want your money. Unfortunately, bad people, but I did it to myself. I learned.
Learning from that, and I guess for people listening, learning from mistakes, what would be something that they should focus on besides hiring a really good attorney to focus on when building a partnership, I guess to start some franchises?
I think the first step is try to avoid partnerships, obviously. Do it on your own. Do something you're ready for. If I was going to do it over again, maybe I would have started with two Wingstops and done it all myself and grow the cash flow myself. However, if you're going to do a partnership, it is all about roles and responsibilities. Get the opinion of multiple attorneys, get some mentors. While I had some mentors, most of the better mentors didn't come until later. My father, unfortunately, is passed many years ago, but my dad didn't really want to get involved in my business too heavily. I did use an uncle that was an accountant for advice when my first set of CPAs truly screwed up everything because they weren't used to sort of overseeing multiple LLCs. So surround yourself with the best mentors. And to be honest, I give free advice all day, Vinny. Mm-hmm. And I help people on a regular basis that I'm not going to do any business with in the future. I don't always know that at the time. But I still give free advice always to people on business startup. You know, whether you want to become a franchise system with your independent business or whether I find you a business. And I'll give you sort of the cheat sheet in my brain as to how to do this correctly. But if you can avoid partners, that's always a great thing.
If giving free advice, right? And I know your time is valuable, right?
Yeah.
And so what's the best way of someone properly, I guess, reaching out to you and trying to pick your brain?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm all over the place, all over social media everywhere. You can certainly DM me on Instagram, Facebook. My website is lancegralick.com. My name, that'll be in the show notes, or ionfranchising.com is the podcast, EYE on franchising. And I love giving back, because I don't feel like I had the right support. I did a lot of things right. I did a lot of things wrong. And I love helping people not make any of the mistakes that I made. And I help individuals every single day. It seems to come up, at least maybe not every day, maybe multiple times throughout the week. It seems like a lot of the advice I give them is stuff that I wish somebody gave to me when I was starting out. But like I said, I made the money. Instead of completely retiring, I give back as a podcast host, which is a lot of time. I'm a guest on great podcasts like this one. And I mentor all kinds of people. I talk to as many young people as I possibly can. I help people in Facebook groups, even though it probably won't be reciprocated. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You talked, and this probably, because you can tell, I guess, especially if you're watching right now, right? There's some emotion aspect of the divorce, emotion aspect of that breakup that you had with the partnerships. Now, when you're in those low moments, because it seems like they were probably fairly low moments, what were you doing to get yourself back up? Was it basically just mindset, meditation, working out, taking a jog, taking a trip? What was that look like?
That's another great question. I work out regularly. If without working out, even my current wife, if I'm having a hard day, like here I'm starting, you're starting 7 a.m. We're on this podcast. And I'm going to go. And at some point I have to wonder, when do I get to the gym? That's my safe space, if you will, which I love. I love to expend energy, you know, hitting a heavy bag, working out heavy, running. So that's a great thing for me. But no one is going to motivate you. You have to motivate and push yourself. So you have to always ask yourself, think of your goals. So in my case, as I was in that 5,300 square foot house that I built with my ex, and I knew I was going to be selling it in a short sale, and I got out of it pretty cleanly, a lot of value in Vegas. And I realized, you know, what am I going to do now? Let me do something a little simpler. And sure enough, then I had somebody call me and ask, hey, can you help me create a business? And that was a gentleman that had the idea of Pink Box Donuts and had the idea of the name, but had no clue how to do it and was willing to put up the money. They said, well, I'm doing other projects. I had a nice chunk of equity. And like I said earlier, I built that part-time and created a great brand. I used all my skills to create something that had never been born before. And that's a pretty powerful thing to be able to do. And I felt pretty amazing about myself to create a brand from scratch, part-time. And that partnership didn't work out too well either, to be honest. And maybe it's me. Maybe I'm too nice. Maybe I'm too generous with my time. I don't know what it is, but at the end of the day, I know I have a big heart. I know I have knowledge. And the way I choose to give back today is sharing on my podcast. I'm really going to blow up my YouTube channel this year as well. I wrote a book with a bunch of friends called Luminary Leadership. Whatever I can do, I just feel like I have to get the word out that franchising is a hot space. People should explore it. With a guy like me on your side, I do it for you for free. So why not explore? So hopefully that sums it up best.
Well, what's that? You're talking about goal, always knowing your kind of goal. What's your plan? If we're talking in 5 years from now, what does that look like for you? What's that kind of North Star?
You know, for me now, being 57, my goal in all that I did building businesses, it was hard to give up control, but I did. And I learned because I had a great team, and I let myself coast because I had a great team in place. But I didn't take a lot of vacations. I didn't have a lot of free time. I didn't want a lot of free time. Last year, my wife and I took a vacation every month. And a vacation I define as 4 days away from my home, 4 nights away from my home, could be in the United States. Last year, we were in Mexico, we were in Puerto Rico. This year, we'll probably make it to Europe, Mexico again, etc. And so that's what I'm doing now. It's vacationing and having fun with the wife that I absolutely love, my perfect partner. I always say my first wife was my practice wife. My second wife was my perfect, is my perfect wife. And I mean that sincerely. And, you know, continuing to always work on that relationship, because when you take anything for granted, it doesn't work anymore. You have to really focus and you have to give always. It's an old expression I was taught. I worked with a company called Rapport Leadership International. And I have a keychain somewhere behind me on this bookshelf. It says givers gain. And I'm a giver. I've always been a giver. Maybe at times I've given too much, if that is possible. But I've learned in this particular relationship how to really be the best husband and hopefully the best father. The kids are all grown up now. And so for me, it's focusing on being the best franchise broker in the country, franchise consultant. By the time this year ends, I'll probably represent about 1,100 brands in virtually every industry. And I had a guy this morning text me and say, my brother and I are looking for EV charging stations. Do you have a franchise like that? We do have a couple. It's not something I would necessarily do at this particular juncture. I think there's a lot of better ones. But that's the other thing, too, that's interesting, Vinny. In the old days, people used to follow their passion. If you loved kids, you'd become a teacher or a school principal or whatever. Passion, to me, today has changed completely. Whether people realize it or not, people are, everybody's passionate about something or a few things. So if you're passionate about spending time with your family or your kids and making sure you attend every one of your kids' soccer games, like my dad did, he didn't miss anything. It was parents we never saw. My dad was everything I ever played, from track to soccer to baseball. He never missed anything I was ever in. So people today tend to be passionate about something. If it's family and kids, put yourself in that position where you can be there and you have the time to do whatever you are passionate about. Your passion does not have to be your business. You know, Howard Schultz from Starbucks, the founder of Starbucks, he's like, I'm not in the coffee business. I'm in the people business. And basically all of the majority of the great brands that I represent are all exactly like that. If you have a plumbing franchise or any kind of business service franchise, it's all about the people you serve, the people you employ, and none of that's being taken by AI either. The service business is alive and well.
Well, thank you so much, Lance, for being on the Road to Growth podcast today. I know you kind of already talked about it, but I guess reiterate it. If people are listening, they're looking to get more information about a franchise, starting a franchise, franchising their business. What's the best way of getting more information?
Yeah, I was going to say also franchise. If you've got an independent business that's successful at all, let's talk about setting that up for franchising. It's not as expensive as you think. So to find me, the easiest way, shoot me a message on Instagram, shoot me a DM, and use the word Vinny. On any of the platforms, so I know where I got you from. And LanceGralick.com, IonFranchising.com, EYE on Franchising is my podcast. And happy to talk to anybody about anything business related.
Again, thank you so much, Lance, for being here. My pleasure. I've had so many business owners that kind of start from scratch, and they go, okay, well, maybe I'll get a mentor, I'll learn on the job. But I mean, if you have a model that's already kind of perfected in a sense, right? I mean, that can help out a lot of time right there. So that's it.
Time is our most valuable resource for sure, Vinny. And that's the major advantage of franchising is you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and follow somebody else's model success.
Thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe, please share, and go in the show notes and go find Lance. Bye everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.theenriquezgroup.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. The Enriquez Group, signing off.